hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step.
Something has happened to my voice.
Life can be so
since
sweet.
We have been gone. I don't know if you know it or not, but I notice it.
Who is this?
What did not happen to you when you speak?
What?
Like I got an accent or something. No, I don't know. I got an accent. I come back, I have an accent. I don't know.
Accent?
Yeah, accent.
Here you are all equally worthless.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey.
Mr. Dorsey?
That's Mike Dorsey. He run the place. He run the place here.
Huh.
I don't think you guys speak up like I did. The accent.
No.
No.
No, he didn't.
We didn't talk to the locals all that much. You did, I think.
This music I brought back with me. I would like to play for you now. Hope you enjoy. Jamaica.
South of the border. Down Mexico way.
That's where
I fell in love with the when stars above came out
to play.
And now as I wonder, my thoughts ever stray south of the border. Down Mexico way.
Thank you. If you like, I will sing some more for you. Here we go.
She was a picture in old Spanish lace. Just for a tender while, I kissed the smile upon her face.
Thank you so much.
For it was fiesta. And love had its day. Oh, south of the border, down Mexico way.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Glad you like it. Thanks, everybody. Yes, that's Engelbert Humperdinck. The focus of one of the greatest jokes of all time.
Then she sighed as I whispered
the song, Down Mexico Way.
Never
take him right out here. That's right, we're back. And, Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was great.
I got up this morning and I was thinking, I think I'll go meet everybody down for breakfast. Oh, yeah. Wait, there is no breakfast anymore. I'm living at home. We don't have breakfast here. It's all inclusive at my house. It includes every restaurant where you can go to get a carry out. That's what it includes, because there's no food at the house. I don't know what Peon and Dan are going to share with you. I will start by saying, boy, it is so good to be out of that 80 sunscreen.
Oh, 85.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget to shake the sand out of your flip-flops. Enough of that stuff, I can tell you that. We will dedicate the show today to Jordan Hendel. When you go away and there are about 100 of you, it's not uncommon for something to happen, something you couldn't have foreseen. And one of the couples with us, Bill and Wanda Hendel, who have traveled on at least 4 of these trips with us, got that call that you don't want to get on Thursday, that Wednesday night their grandson had died. He was 24.
Mm.
And to the credit of Julie Wilson, the world's greatest travel agent, Bill Hendel came to me. It was well into the morning, Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I could tell something was horribly wrong. And he said, please help us. And what he wanted help with was getting out of there. And when you're part of a charter group, I'm sure there are a lot of travel agents who wouldn't have known what to do, and you'd have just been stuck. She had them back home in St. Louis before midnight that night.
Yeah.
Awesome. second, third level testing they can do beyond the obvious stuff, and maybe they'll come up with something from tissue samples or something. But 24 and gone, and that happened on our trip, and that was a sad thing. But other than that, it was, you know, when you say uneventful, that's a good thing, because uneventful means nothing happened to anybody. Nobody, you know, fell off a building or got drunk and drowned. We did have a cruise ship. We were in Cabo San Lucas, and we had a cruise ship, and we all saw the ship. It was anchored out in the bay, and they tendered the people into Cabo San Lucas to go shopping or to dinner or whatever. And the word through the resort was that a guy on that cruise ship tried to kill his wife. They got in the fight. He tried to push her off into the ocean.
Yeah, after it left.
Can't imagine.
It didn't work.
She hit a lifeboat going down and like busted a bunch of bones, broke herself all up, but she didn't die. And so he was in the jail on the ship. The cruise ships actually have a jail. It's not a big one, but it's a jail. So he was incarcerated.
The brig, somebody called it.
Yeah, the brig. That would be what you'd call it, because that's what the Navy calls it. So he was in the brig. She's in the hospital, and I'm sure he'll be tried for attempted murder. So... there, gentlemen, if you're going to push your wife off of a cruise ship, look down to make sure.
Hit the gym the day before.
Yeah, make sure.
Make sure in the gym the day before so you get a real good heave-ho. Yeah. And also look down and make sure there's not something right below besides water, because that's where she's going to land. And then you're just going to, you know, ruin the
Can't imagine fighting with a spouse on vacation. Mm-hmm.
No,
you're in paradise.
That's the first thing I thought.
I mean, nothing could go wrong.
That's the first thing I thought. How could this possibly happen that people could not like being married to each other? The other thing I will tell you, and then I'll let Peon and Dan jump in here, is one of the things we're able to pull off with this show is something no other radio show, I don't think, can pull off, and that is the demographic range, the age range. We had in our group the youngest was late 20s, and the oldest was 85.
Yeah.
How about that? Late 20s to 85. We had people in their 40s, in their 50s, 60s. Jack was 85, and Ken was 84, and they were with their ladies who were in their 80s ladies. Ladies in their 80s.
Yeah. And Jack is not married, right, to Marilyn, as that was... is that just a girlfriend?
Can you cut that? Can you hit the button?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the reason I ask you to do that, and I'll explain it to you later. So we had, it was a terrific group of people. And you remember that thing Steve Martin did? It was a Christmas thing. He said, my wish for Christmas would be all the children of the world. You know, you remember he goes through this whole laundry list, and
yes,
he goes, okay, I'll take $1 million and then peace on earth and all the children. My wish would be that like 100,000 listeners could go on this trip every year, but we could start with 300 instead of 100. We do 300. I think that'd be fantastic. I realize not everybody has the money, and, just the fact that if you could go with us and hang out with these people. One guy's a plumber, one lady's a nurse, another person is a school teacher, somebody else owns a business, somebody else owns another kind of business, somebody's retired, one guy's a truck driver. It's just a tremendous mix of regular people. You know, nobody is better than anybody else. Some people save all year for this trip. Some people could take this trip twice a month. They can afford it. But once we're together on this trip, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. It's like everybody's the same. We all have this common bond, and it's we all think the same things are funny.
Yeah, somebody said it during the trip. It's like a family reunion every year. You know, because we have so many return
people. Well, two-thirds of this crowd had been with us before as much as 9 or 10 times, as many as 9 or 10.
So it is. I mean, we really don't get to see them much during the year.
It is. And in your first trip, and for the 30 or so people who were with us for the first time, if they go back, if there's another trip, let's start there. If there's another trip and they go on it, they're going to reconnect with these people. It was a great trip. If you guys have anything, I don't have any specifics to throw in. I feel sorry for everybody who missed Dan's performance the second night we were there. There's a guy on stage in the show area, and he's sort of doing an orientation about what's around the area, what's in town, where to shop, blah, blah, blah. And Dan, at the even the very beginning of it, walks up and stands at the foot of the stage and starts signing sign language. It was hilarious. And you know, we knew one of two things would happen. Either the guy on stage would look down and go, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Get off and call Pablo. For security." Was his name Pablo?
Yeah.
Or he, hopefully he'd do what he did, and he just looked down, he saw Dan signing, he could, it was obvious Dan did not sign, and the guy just burst out laughing.
Well, yeah, no, after, halfway through, he was still just kind of looking at him like, what is going on here? He was, and then yeah. Everybody started laughing, and then he started, laughing.
He was great, he was a great sport about it.
Yeah.
And he got as big a kick out of it as anybody, so I feel sorry for everybody who missed that. I missed my milk. Did you guys taste the milk in Mexico?
No.
No.
Yeah. I'm a big milk drinker. I drink a gallon of milk about every 3 to 4 days.
Wow.
About every,
yeah. Oh, I don't drink any milk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've had a half gallon. I'm catching up since I got back. And I tried a glass of milk, and my first complaint about milk is always that it's not cold. Well, this was cold, but I don't know what animal it came out of. I don't know whose teats were squeezed to get this milk, but it wasn't a cow. And I took
same
one.
With the, yeah, same with the hamburger beef. It's,
yeah.
Something is yeah. just, I mean, it's close.
Close?
But it's just, yeah, I don't yeah. know if.
No, they miss it on steak and beef, and they miss it on milk, and I don't know.
Maybe they
why
don't feed their
is.
Cows grain. Maybe it's something different. They feed
burritos.
That milk
yeah,
could have
beans.
Been that could have been dog milk. It could have been cat milk, bat milk, deer oh. milk. It wasn't milk that I'm. So I didn't have any milk all week. That threw my system off because I like milk. But. Other than that, it was fine. It was a beautiful place. It was clean, and Cabo San Lucas. Now I know what it is that people love about Cabo San Lucas. It's the weather. You can go to Mexico in the winter and get warm, but you can also be miserable at night because of the bugs and the humidity. This place had no bugs and it had no humidity, and at night it dropped down so cool that you kind of, whoo, every once in a while thought, I could put long sleeves on.
Yeah,
not cold, but yeah. But just nice and pleasantly cool. There was not one hot, miserable night.
And there was one year we went, I think it was Riviera Maya, but it only got up to the high 70s every day. So you couldn't even, the pool was cold. Like this year's pool, it still had a chill when you got in it, but you got used to it really fast. But that one year, you couldn't even ever get used to it.
No one in the resort was in the pool.
Nobody swam yeah. that whole week because yeah. it was only high 70s.
Yeah, see, that's no good. People like to.
6 degrees make a difference.
So we've had enough experience at this. We've narrowed it down. We know the good places. And this resort, as resorts go, we love this place. So while we were gone, and when I'm talking about variety of people with us, you guys know who I'm talking about, but there's one lady, and she and her husband have traveled with us about, I think, 9 times. She was a nun.
For yes.
3 years,
oh, yeah.
She lived in the nunnery, or whatever you call the place where nuns are trained. And you watch her, and you look at her, and you just go, I can't believe that you almost became a nun. Not that she's wild, or she's just so much fun and has so much fun. And I don't think you're supposed to have a whole lot of fun if you're a nun, are you?
No, I don't know.
I saw Sister Act. I saw Sister Act, okay? I know some stuff. Paul Harris filled in all week. I have no idea how that went. You folks who listened would have to give us your feedback. I'm sure it was fine. And other than that, what do you guys have to add? Then we'll talk about what happened while we were gone back here and around the world.
We forgot to bring sunscreen with us. So I went up to the gift shop, and I pulled some sunscreen off the shelf, and I walked up to the counter, and I said, how much is this? The guy goes, 300 pesos, and I said, what's that in American? And he goes, $25, and it didn't hit me. It didn't hit
well,
me.
That's ridiculous.
I took $5 out of my wallet, and he goes, no, $25, $25.05, and I'm standing
there. Was this a gallon of sunscreen?
No, it was just one of those little spray things, and I said... $25, and he goes, and 5 cents. I said, $25?
Then it finally hit.
Yeah, it was like,
yeah, yeah, that's, there's a punchline to a joke, and the punchline is, well, he must have seen you coming.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
That applies here.
Well, they got you there in the resort gift shop. Where else would you get to?
Yeah, where you walk in, and they see you look kind of like a lobster, and you're begging for sunscreen or aloe.
What are you going to do?
Oh,
yeah,
what are you going to do? They'll charge whatever.
Holy cow.
Whatever they want.
So make sure if you go out, this is my travel tip for everyone, take your own sunscreen with you.
Now, while we were gone, they captured, and I believe they captured him Friday, El Chapo.
Yeah.
Joaquin Guzman. Have you been reading about, you can't read enough about this guy. I started digging stuff up.
The Sinaloa cartel.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The biggest drug dealer in the world, and they got him in Mexico.
El Chapo?
Yeah, they would kill all the other cartel bosses off just so they had control.
Yeah, the C-H-A-P-O, the A is pronounced, Chapo means shorty. His nickname was Shorty because he was kind of a short guy, but he was a big guy in the drug world, and Forbes even has listed him for the last several years as being among the wealthiest, richest people in the world. He is responsible for the deaths of 10,000 people.
Wow.
His cartels and second level cartels and gangs, and I don't know what the levels are in the drug industry. There's the big drug lord, that's this guy. Then there are his thousands of henchmen. Then the next level down on the chain. Well, but with all the thousands of people working at some pyramid level under this guy, they say he and all those people were responsible for 80% of the cocaine and heroin that got into Chicago.
Wow.
And 1/4 of all of the cocaine and heroin that comes into the United States. I mean, this guy is big.
Yeah.
Big. And now they're saying that capturing him is either a great thing or is going to be the beginning of a lot of violence. Because now it's who's going to take over and who's the next big drug lord and who's going to take down whom, who's going to die in the process. The other problem is he's in jail in Mexico. And I think that's a problem because this is a guy who back in the... One of the things
2001,
I
think.
Well, he was arrested in 2001, but prior to that, he was arrested and taken into a jail in a little town in Mexico. I forgot the town. And they brought him before the police chief. And honest to goodness, the police chief scared to death of him. And Guzman dumped $50,000 on the desk, and they took the cuffs off and let him go. It's just a flat-out payout, bribe, get him out of here. They're scared to death of this guy.
They want to extradite him to the United States just so they don't have that problem.
Here's the problem. Till they do, it would not surprise me if we find out that he, in air quotes here, escaped from the jail in Mexico.
Yeah,
It's too bad he couldn't have been brought right here. Because he's got, my goodness, he's awaiting major charges, trials here in like 10 or 12 major cities in this country. Chicago being first on the list. Everybody wants a piece of this guy. So I just hope that they do keep him incarcerated because he's got such power in Mexico that if he gets out again down there. I'm telling you, if you go on and you just Google El Chapo. That's all, E-L-C-H-A-P-O. You don't even have to have his real name. You're not going to believe the stuff that comes up, and just read some of the news stories and the history and the life of this guy. And it is a guy who started out as a kid, just selling marijuana. And then he realized, hey, make some pretty good dough here. I think I'll step it up a notch. And he had people selling for him. It's an incredible story.
Wow.
Not a good story, but you can't help.
It's a movie, though.
Oh, no, Mike, there'll absolutely be a movie about this. You know there will be. About El Chapo. So we are going to... I'm sorry, what's that? Huh? You would? I want to hear a little more of Engelbert Humperdinck.
Really?
I knew this would happen.
And you want one? You want me to sing along again? Okay.
Who am I?
South of the border.
Oh, yeah.
Down Mexico way.
All right, that's cool. I'll just let Engelbert take the rest of it out. I will, with the Mexican music in the background, talk to you about American Equity Mortgage. Give it a little south of the border of flavor, which it's never had before. You know, I feel sorry for the people not in Mexico, because I tell you why. They do not have American equity mortgage. And I'm sure they have other ways to borrow money, to get equity loan, whatever. But they do not have American equity. They probably have like Mexican equity mortgage. Not the same. And maybe even the phone number is something, something, you know, nueve, 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 nueve. But it's not tres, uno, cuatro. See, ocho, nueve, ocho, nueve, nueve, nueve is different. And the other thing is rates. I'm sure they're not competitive with the rates of American equity mortgage. So I say to you, my fellow Americans, if in this country, America, USA of America, United States of America, you need to borrow money for own a house, or you need to borrow for equity in the house to pay like debt consolidation, or home equity loan for something you need to buy, you need to pay money for. American equity mortgage, el nombre otra vez es 314-898-9999. In English, 314-878-9999. Engelbert, if you would please let your musicians take us out to the break.
All right, let's check traffic now. Here's Timothy Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Dan. Welcome back. And it sounds like
thanks.
We got a couch in the roadway on westbound 44 near Bowles. Other than that, we've got slow traffic on southbound 170 from Forest Park Parkway down through Highway 40. On eastbound 70, we're heavy around 10th Street. And then we also had some construction going on. They've got the right lane down on westbound 270 between the Canal Bridge and the Chain of Rocks Bridge. And that will be until 5 o'clock. This traffic report brought to you by Subway. This February at Subway, enjoy the delicious oven-roasted chicken as a $3 6-inch select. It's a simple way to enjoy eating better. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
This station is live, local, talk.
What the heck does that mean to you?
That means local St. Louisans talking to other St. Louisans about things happening in St. Louis while we work, play, and live together in St. Louis.
That's why we're St. Louis's biggest conversation.
Live and local.
The Big 550.
KTRS.
Depend on it.
Whoever came up with the saying, put your money where your mouth is, must have had some dental work done. Just a filling can cost over $100. And other procedures like crowns and root canals can cost you hundreds more. Without dental insurance, you could be putting a lot of money where your mouth is. Fortunately, you can get dental insurance for less than a dollar a day. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can cover over 300 procedures. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. To have a free information kit mailed directly to you, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company. 1-800-300-4147. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies. Even if you're retired or on Medicare, you can see any dentist you choose and never pay a deductible. Get coverage for less than a dollar a day and put less money where your mouth is. For your free information kit with all the details, call 1-800-300-4147. 1-800-300-4147.
If you're tired of suffering with joint discomfort, be one of the lucky people personally selected to experience a revolutionary new joint relief breakthrough called Beneflex. Right now, personal introductory samples of Beneflex are being made available to adults in this area, but only through this unique offer. To guarantee your sample, call now, 1-800-600-1252. Beneflex is our most advanced formula ever, offering effective joint relief in as few as 7 days. If you want to be one of the people lucky enough to receive a personal sample, you must act quickly. If you're suffering with joint discomfort in your hands, knees, even your hips, Advanced Beneflex can provide relief in as few as 7 days. And now you can be one of the first individuals to experience its amazing power. But hurry, these samples are very popular. Beneflex is available at GNC and Vitamin Shoppe, but to guarantee your personal sample, you must call now. 1-800-600-1252. That's 1-800-600-1252. 1-800-600-1252.
Have you paid for an appraisal up front only to be turned down because your house didn't appraise out? At Golden Oak Lending, we take the risk for you. This is Bob Ellman. If your loan doesn't close, you don't pay anything, including the appraisal. Check out our A-plus rating with the BBB. We've been right here for 14 years in St. Louis. Why would you refinance with anyone else?
Home values have been steadily increasing, and with today's mortgage rates in the threes, you can refinance to a lower monthly payment or get cash out to pay off credit cards. Our licensed loan officers are trained to find you the best mortgage plan for your situation, and you pay nothing out of pocket.
Apply today. If your loan doesn't close, pay nothing for the appraisal.
Call 314-567-GOLD. That's 567-4653.
Golden Oak Lending, short my blues.
Rates are down to 3.375 fixed. 15-year APR 3.807. NMLS 1149-37. 111 Westport Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri. Call 567-GOLD.
Hey, it's Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bon Air. I know the winter was tough. The walls are closing in. You need a break from the same old. You need to get out of that house. They say the groundhog saw his shadow, so we got 6 more weeks of what we've had, but that's not true. We got 6 more weeks of party all the time at Fast Eddie's Bon Air. Come on in. Enjoy the coldest beer, the best cheap eats, the world-famous peel-and-eat shrimp, the mouth-watering chick on a stick, and don't forget, you can always get lucky at Fast Eddie's. I mean, with the video poker machine. So grab your friends, grab the gang, grab your neighbors, join the fun all year round at Fast Eddie's Bonner. We have that ridiculously huge heated patio. That's right, heated. Heat, like warm. Patio with tons of flat screens. You can catch the best games. You can have the live entertainment out there 5 nights a week. Come on over to Fast Eddie's Bonner. So like Mr. Shannon says,
if you're 21 and in the mood, head on over to Fast Eddie's Bonner in Alton, Illinois.
Thanks, Mr. Shannon.
Do you know what that sound is? That's your new digital marketing department. And that'll be your new web designer. And that's Haibu, where these experts are joined by many more, from web designers to search marketing specialists who work hard to get your business noticed online and on mobile. Best of all, Haibu can do it all for you or give you the tools to do it yourself. To find out more, go to Haibu.com. That's Haibu.com or call 877-938-HAIBU. Oh, that'll be your next new customer. Haibu, made for business.
The Big 550 is your home for everything Mizzou. Tune in this Monday night from 6:30 till 9 for Mizzou Monday, live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City with John Hadley and Jim Huer. We'll recap the last game, preview the next, and for everyone at Friendly Sports Bar and Grill, we'll have more fun off the air. Mizzou Mondays, live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City. Brought to you by Mixed Fusions by Nicki Minaj. Premium imported Moscato infused with natural fruit juices. Naturally sweet, sparkling, and refreshingly carbonated. Mixed Fusions by Nicki Minaj and the Big 550 KTRS.
I don't know if we have time to wait till the person sings or not.
You know who it is? While.
Yeah, it's Cher. I recognize her band.
Yeah.
I recognize her band. I'm one of the probably a couple of million people who were fooled yesterday into thinking that Jimmy Johnson won the Daytona 500. I'm not a NASCAR person. I don't get it. I get that lots of people do, and I don't have a problem with that, but I tried to get into it. I went to a race, and I was lucky. I got an invitation to get an all-access pass. I was in the pit. Lug nuts were, like, landing on my feet and stuff, and I tried to learn as much as I could. It's just, it's not my thing, but Daytona 500 is a big deal. Did you guys watch any of it yesterday?
I watched.
No, I know what you're going to say, though.
I watched the very end of it.
Late in the day.
Yeah, late.
Well, here's the deal. I turned it on at the start, and I watched some guy I never heard of. You can't say gentlemen start your engines anymore. You have to say driver start your engines. Danica Patrick is driving. So I watched that guy, whoever he was. Guy sang the national anthem. Never heard Aloe Black. Never heard of him. I don't know who he was. Speaking of that, by the way, if somebody offered you $100,000 and said, okay, I'm cutting you loose in the crowd here at NASCAR at the Daytona 500. Come back with five black people.
Oh, no.
You couldn't do it.
It's a very...
You couldn't. It's the whitest sport there is NASCAR. I'm not sure why that is. Think about it. But look, I understand why for many, many, many years a lot of black kids couldn't play hockey because, holy crap, it costs a lot of money for kids to be involved in hockey. But it doesn't cost anything to enjoy watching NASCAR. And
yeah, but right or wrong, NASCAR is considered a redneck sport. So I think that kind of has something to do with it.
Well, I saw one black person, and it was 50 Cent. And I don't know why they interviewed him. I'm guessing he might have a stake in a car or something. I don't know. But in the crowd... no black people. But back to what I was going to say. I'm watching the thing. I watched the beginning of it. And Danica Patrick, she's cute, 5'2", a little bitty woman, and she's a good driver. And I thought, well, this would be really interesting if she came in the top three, certainly if she won. And then it rains. And then they bring the trucks out, and they have new ways of drying. They used to use jet engines to dry. But a lot of what the jet engines would do, because it was air, was push the water somewhere else. These things are massive suction things they have on these trucks. It sucks the moisture out of the pavement. And then next thing I know, I come in the room, and here's the race, and it says, you know, 55 laps to go and 30 laps to go, and I kind of stuck with it, 10 laps, 9 laps. Boom, Jimmy Johnson, the winner, doing donuts. I never saw anywhere on the screen. Now, they say it was there, and maybe it was. But when you're watching a guy doing donuts and you're focused on the car and maybe an accident, you're not looking at the crawls except for the scores at the top.
Right. No, you weren't the only one from what I read online.
Oh, no, it was millions.
People on Twitter were, you know, live.
Tweeting him.
Live tweeting the race. And,
yes. So my wife walks in the room and says, who won? I said, Jimmy Johnson won. Now, I go on my iPad last night and I'm looking at other stuff. They have USA Today. And I hit the sports page of USA Today, and it says Dale Earnhardt. I thought, oh, man, they look really bad because they don't even know who won NASCAR. And I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. How could they not know Jimmy Johnson won? And then I see this morning all over the news that Fox realizes they should have done a better job letting people know what they were doing was playing the 2013 race because they had so much downtime. Man, I'm honest to goodness, I thought I saw, I never even saw the end of the race, and I thought I did.
There was like a 6-hour rain
delay.
Oh,
yeah, it didn't start till like 10 or 11.
So Dale Earnhardt Jr. Won it the same place that his dad died in, I think, 2001, when Earnhardt Sr. died. It's a huge sport, and It's owned by a family. This is the NASCAR is a family-owned private business. How much money must the Francis family be worth?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
And you know how NASCAR was started. Do you know how it started?
No.
It was moonshiners racing each other because the most hopped-up, fastest cars out there were the guys running moonshine, because they had to hop their cars up to outrun the police. So they had some pretty impressive fast cars, and Francis got together with a bunch of guys, and they had a little race, and he thought, oh, this was fun, let's have another one. And then I guess he kind of realized, hey, I could charge people to race and to see the race. And from that, in like 1947 or something, we have NASCAR. It's unbelievable. I watched one of the Waltrips being interviewed. I made a point to try to read everything on his suit. You can't even read all the advertising on his driver's suit. That's how good NASCAR is at selling advertising and marketing. And the sponsors want the car to wreck or win, either wreck or win, because if you have a wreck, man, the camera's right on you, and there it is, Lowe's or Gillette or whoever the sponsor is, and they have statistics on what part of the car, and this is all in a computer in a database, what part of the car is seen most often when there is a wreck. Now remember, they're going counterclockwise. So if you hit the wall, it's going to be the right side of your car. So you probably want space, and I'll promise you, it's more expensive on the right side of the car than the left side of the car. Because what side of the car are you looking at most of the time when they're going around the track? The right side.
I know they're all different prices for sizes.
When I went to the one race I went to, I had a guy trying to explain to me back in the behind the scenes what prices were put on. Now, I knew that the one I went to was a charter-sponsored thing, and I was a guest of charter. And if I remember, they sponsored, it was like the hood for one season, and it was something like $6 million or something for the hood of that car. Now take every part of every car and run those numbers, and then take TV rights, and then all the other ad revenue. My goodness, it's billions of dollars. They're marketing geniuses. But I've tried, and I know it's high level science. The difference in the track temperature from the day of the race to when they were rehearsing, if there's 5 degrees difference in the air, they have to kind of redo. It's a different tread, different tire, different whatever. Let's adjust this. Let's adjust that. It's so specific, and there's so much physics involved, and weight distribution, aerodynamics. It's not for dummies. But I'm amazed at the people, the millions of people who will sit through one of those races and watch essentially the same thing over and over and over.
I can't do it.
I have friends that are huge NASCAR fans, and I had a buddy of mine that lived down in Daytona and would go to Daytona. They lived for the Daytona 500, and he would set up on the infield and had all of his stuff, and it was just a huge weekend party for them.
Now, why don't black people race, and why don't they want to watch a race?
I don't know.
Because my question is, you're going to tell me that every, and I'll say redneck, because by their own admission, it's a redneck sport. You're going to tell me that every southern blue collar, whoever those drivers are, at the point where they first learned to drive, they were able to learn because they had a lot of money? I don't think so. I think you have to show that you have an ability, a driving ability, whether it's on a go-kart track as a kid or one of these junior league racing things, and then somebody takes you on and sponsors you, like a lot of other things, like Little League or anything else. So I wonder, why is it? Is it because the black community looks at it as a Confederate, Southern, redneck thing, and they don't want to jump into that crowd? You think that's it? You think they're...
Well, there are no drivers to watch, black drivers, well, that, so that might be a part
of it. My question again is why? Why has no, there's been somebody from the black community break through just about every other wall. Hockey, Dan, is there a black?
There's black hockey players.
Okay, so that's happened. Why country music? We've had a couple, Hootie, Charlie Pride. I don't know of them. Maybe there is. Maybe there's a black NASCAR driver. But there probably is. I'm just not aware of it. But boy, looking at that crowd, I just thought to myself, this is the whitest sport in the world. It just is. So the winner, and if you were like me and didn't know, was Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's worth, about $600 billion. That guy is worth a fortune. The other thing I was thinking about was they'll say, you know, he's in a Chevy or he's in a Ford or he's in a Toyota. That car, nothing about it is a Chevy or a Ford or Toyota except the emblem. Am I right?
Yeah.
That engine, you can't go buy that car. So I find it kind of interesting that they're even considered Chevys or Fords when nothing, by the time they get through with it, about it, was that original Chevy or Ford. In fact, they're all kind of the same car, no matter what the badge is on it. They're the same race car when they get through with it. And I also found it interesting that the official beer of NASCAR is, you guys know,
no.
I would have sworn no. Budweiser. It's Coors Light.
Oh, Coors Light is the official beer of football, too, NFL.
I think it used to be. Yeah, I think they sell for so many years, and then somebody
Jim
else
Compton's
buys
Jim Compton's on the phone. He says there's a black driver.
Yes.
Put him on here. Jim?
Good afternoon, gang.
Is he a black driver that ever is on television or one of the major events?
His name is Daryl Bubba Wallace, and he won his first NASCAR race, and it's the first time in over 50 years that a black driver has won a race, since Wendell Scott actually ran in the championship. And Wendell was actually, he was part of the upset that really got to all the Southern drivers. He would win races, and they would extend the race, and then they would, you know, they just worked him over so where he couldn't get any wins, any money. They always had a gimmick against him, but he continued to try, and he raced, and he raced hard. And so he was just recently recognized by the NASCAR group to give him that money. But Daryl Wallace, who will be running at Gateway on June the 14th of this year, is one of the diversified drivers, as NASCAR likes to refer to it. So they're trying to bring in the Hispanics, the black drivers, the female drivers. It's all part of a program, and you know, to broaden their base and to work into the scheme and the media and the marketing of the whole sport.
All right, but you said this black driver you mentioned, you said they all worked against him. Who worked against him?
No, the Wendell Scott, the driver that was back 50 years ago, who was the last black driver to officially win a NASCAR race. The scoring officials, the drivers, everybody worked against him, and he would put his car together, drive it to the track, race the car, bring it home, you know, and he was quite good at what he did.
All right, let me ask you this. Why don't you think more black people want to watch people go fast? Is it because they don't have a black driver to follow?
That could be part of it. Another part of it could be the athletic ability